Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, September 26th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. The human rights lawyers have accused the government of deliberately and unlawfully demolishing hundreds of homes in Chitungwiza and Epworth today in a replay of the internationally condemned 2005 demolitions dubbed Operation Murambatswina or Operation Restore Order.
We have been there, we've seen the calamitous destruction of people's houses there in Epworth, particularly the area close to Dobramwari. Lawyers have been deployed there. They are following up on those people. Some have been arrested.
The United States ambassador to Zimbabwe says Zimbabwe needs to put its house in order instead of blaming its problems on sanctions imposed by Washington on just over 100 ZANU-PF officials.
There are 106 individuals prohibited from doing business with American citizens. And so my argument is that the primary driver of Zimbabwe's economy are the policy decisions made here in Zimbabwe.
And former central bank governor Gideon Gono was holding his peace today following a bare-knuckle onslaught by Information Minister Jonathan Moyo over his botched senatorial bid. The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights is accusing the government of deliberately and unlawfully demolishing hundreds of homes in Chitungwiza and Epworth today in a replay of the internationally condemned 2005 demolitions dubbed Operation Murambatswina or Operation Restore Order. But local government minister Ignatius Chombo says there's no going back on destroying what he called illegal structures that have sprouted in cities and towns. The demolitions began at around 1 a.m. in Chitungwiza. The operation started in Manyame Park in St. Mary's Zengeza 5 Seke Units ACNOP and Riverside. In Epworth, the situation is said to be very tense, and lawyers are reporting that several residents have been arrested by the anti-riot police that has been deployed there to monitor the demolitions. The operation was carried out despite court challenges by the residents that are still pending in the courts. Chitungwiza resident Tsungai Munyengwa relates her ordeal to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, saying she has been left without shelter after the early morning raid.
Well, I guess I was just phoned and told that my house was being demolished. I was not at home at that time.
Who told you that the house was being demolished?
The boy who was staying at my house.
Do you have children?
Yes, I've got two kids.
So where are you going to sleep now that the house has been demolished?
Right now, I don't have anywhere to stay. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Did the council give you advance warning that they were going to demolish your house today?
No, the council did not tell us that they were going to demolish our houses. We were not told. But instead, they told us that they were going to give us turnout fees, which we were going to pay to the council. Then we were going to be arrested.
What were these penalty fees for?
They were just saying you didn't follow the proper procedures.
That was Chitungwiza resident Tsungai Munyengwa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Blessing also reached a Chitungwiza resident trust spokesperson Marvelous Kumalo, who called the government move illegal.
We have a court order which we obtained from the Magistrates Court on the 24th of April, and they approached the High Court on the 27th of June seeking an order to proceed with the demolitions. And before the case was set down, they have then gone ahead. And this, with you, it is a contempt of court in itself.
So what is the way forward?
What we have done this morning is we have reported the matter at St. Louis Police Station, where we are saying it's a case of contempt of court. So we have reported against the CEO or the clerk of the city, Mr. George Makunde, and the issue is recorded under case number RRB 2193402 at St. Mary's Police Station. And we have also instructed our lawyers to approach the High Court again so that we get another interdict.
And that was Chitungwiza Resident Trust spokesperson Marvelous Khumalo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. A spokesman of Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, Kumbirai Mafunda, who rushed to Epworth with human rights lawyers, says the situation is tense.
Yeah, we have been to Epworth after the residents of Epworth sought assistance from Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. We have been there, we have seen the calamitous destruction of people's houses there in Epworth, particularly the area close to Dombarangwari.
We also understand that some residents of Epworth have been arrested. Is this true?
Yeah, indeed. Our lawyers have been deployed there. They are following up on those people. Some have been arrested for allegedly taking pictures when this operation started early in the morning. And some of the residents are being accused of actually assaulting some police officers when the local authorities personnel when they're executing this demolition.
We talked earlier on to local government minister Ignatius Chombo, who was saying your organization, the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, is the one that is actually instigating these residents to violate the country's laws.
Mr. Chombo is actually lost. He knows the truth. Surely, are you telling us that Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights will be people who don't have anywhere to live, they've persuaded to build these houses so that they have accommodation? Mr. Chombo is a minister in President Robert Mugabe's government. They are the ones who are violating people's rights. They are committing serious crimes of robbing people of shelter. I think it's provided for that in the constitution that Zimbabweans do have a right to shelter. Mr. Chombo needs to read the constitution of Zimbabwe.
And that was Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights spokesman Kumbirai Mafunda speaking to Studio 7 from Epworth. For a government perspective, Blessing Zulu reached local government minister Ignatius Chombo, who says there's no going back on the demolitions.
The government is very clear. We support local authorities when they are implementing the Urban Councils Act, which clearly states you can't build in a place that has not been given to you by the planning authorities. Our councils that are implementing this policy are following the law. And we want really to observe the rule of law in Zimbabwe.
But are they not violating the same law, Honorable Chombo, in that some of these cases are still before the High Court?
We don't even know of a case in the High Court. The people have been convicted, those who are selling land. We have put a commission of inquiry to understand who are those. And we've asked the police to deal with them. And we have given the affected persons an opportunity to obtain stands in legally, and we've got those stands, and without any cost immediately. They will pay later, but we want them to have a stand, develop it, and then pay later for the stand. So really, there's the crocodile tears by the people from Chikungwiza, and these the funny non-governmental organizations, the funds funded by the West. How do you have an organization coming to say, allow illegality? How do you run a country when illegalities are defended and protected? Because we have many cars in Harare, do you think we should allow people to drive on the wrong side of the road simply because we have too many cars? We insist on the law.
And that was local government minister Ignatius Chombo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Bruce Wharton says Zimbabwe needs to put its house in order and not blame Washington for sanctions imposed on 106 ZANU-PF officials. Mr. Wharton says travel restrictions imposed on President Robert Mugabe and his inner circle are being abused as they are used each time the Zimbabwean leaders fall short of doing enough for their people. This comes at a time when President Mugabe told the United Nations General Assembly on Thursday that America should unconditionally remove what he called the evil sanctions. Here is what the president said.
So really, it's also a show of desperation and indication of the fact that the government is failing, running in the economy and providing for the needs of of the people. Whether or not that is another thing altogether. But if that they notice that even then to manage the economy and make sure that the economic conditions of the people improve. So really it's an indication of a failure to manage the economy, grow the economy, to generate jobs and the decent standard of living for people.
President Mugabe also condemned what he called the persecution of the people of Palestine by Israel and implied that Western countries are displaying double standards by their silence on this issue.
It's not totally untrue. The situation in Palestine is very, very worrying. It's also important to look at the issue of the suffering broadly and globally. So we have to take home here as well. We are attending to our own people that are suffering. We are attending to our own historical victims of violence as well, going to the ground and so on and so forth.
What about the issue of reforming the IMF and the World Bank?
It is a fact, but to an extent, the IMF has to be reformed. But remember, these institutions were formed in the post-World War II.
Apologies for that mix-up. That, in fact, is a political analyst, Dumisani Nkomo, who was speaking to Studio 7's reporter, Standekile Mhlanga. And Mr. Nkomo was saying that the government should come up with solutions to resuscitate the economy instead of blaming the United States and the European Union. And right now, here is President Robert Mugabe. Apologies again. I would like to apologize sincerely for that mix-up again. We were meant to play you a tape from President Robert Mugabe addressing the United Nations in New York. But anyway, as we go on, we now have a story from the Mutare that was in Zimbabwe. Ambassador Wharton, who came face-to-face yesterday with the villagers angered by the sanctions, says these measures are being abused at such events by top ZANU-PF members and government officials. More from our correspondent Loidam Moyo.
Why, I ask, should Zimbabweans continue to suffer under the American and European yoke of unjustified and unwarranted illegal sanctions? These evil sanctions violate the fundamental principles of the United Nations Charter.
Responding to demonstrators in Mutema communal lands who denounced the U.S. for imposing sanctions on President Mugabe and his colleagues, Ambassador Wharton said the restrictive measures were imposed by America in an effort to enforce democratic processes in the country. The placard-waving demonstrators partially disrupted the ambassador's visit to the area where he was being briefed about the progress in upgrading a 60-hectare banana piece of land being supported through an $800,000 grant by the United States Agency for International Development. The hostile villagers urged America to unconditionally remove the sanctions, saying they were hurting common people. One of the demonstrators, Ward 9 Councillor Tendai Makuyana, urged the ambassador to persuade his country to remove the sanctions.
Let me repeat again.
Chinu one ichocho chinganga chabva. Zvinhu zvese zvinotinakira.
We would think if that one thing is removed, we will be all happy.
My sanctions.
The sanctions.
Regai ndidzokorera zvakare.
Let me repeat again.
My sanctions.
The sanctions.
Kana ma sanction akabva muwadi, zvinhu zvese zvinoendeka.
The sanctions are removed from this world, things will be okay.
In his response soon after the demonstrations, Ambassador Wharton said the sanctions are merely travel restrictions which do not affect the people.
There are 106 individuals who have travel restrictions placed on them by my government and who also are prohibited from doing business with American citizens. And so my argument is that the primary driver of Zimbabwe's economy are the policy decisions made here in Zimbabwe.
He said despite the perceived frosty relations between Washington and Harare, the U.S. would still continue to assist Zimbabwe in health, education, poverty alleviation programs.
What we're trying to do here is while the government is working on its policies and we're working on our policies, we're focused on trying to help the people of Zimbabwe, you know, the men and women who we've seen out here in this banana field.
Mr. Wanton also rubbished claims being made by ZANU-PF that his country has been secretly working with at least 12 legislators to spy for America.
The Dirty Dozen was a Hollywood movie about 40 years ago. It was pretty entertaining, but keep in mind, it was just fiction. It was a good story, but it was just fiction.
Mr. Wanton said Zimbabwe had great potential to develop if Mr. Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party colleagues are willing to put the best policies in place.
I absolutely believe that Zimbabwe is a powerful country, that Zimbabwe has the ability to chart its own future, and that Zimbabwe's economy, the future of Zimbabwe's economy, is in the hands of Zimbabweans. And the primary drivers of Zimbabwe's economy are the policy decisions made by the people in the government of Zimbabwe. So if we're serious about looking for ways to revive this economy, we have to look at structural issues such as land, such as clarification of investment laws. Those are the things that will make this economy take off.
He said there is nothing new in his country and the USAID cooperating with the country's elected leadership in development programs throughout Zimbabwe. The ambassador told Mutema and Chibwe banana irrigation schemes which the USAID supported in an effort to resuscitate dysfunctional irrigation projects. The irrigation schemes were destroyed following the devastating Cyclone Eline disaster in 2000. The USAID managed to repair and sink old and new boreholes for the irrigation schemes by banana seed and chemicals under a revolving fund. At least 250 farmers are benefiting from the project, which has been partnered with banana producing company Matanuska. The company is helping farmers to sell their produce abroad. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutema, this is Lueda Moyo.
A former central bank governor, Gideon Gono, was holding his peace today following a bare-knuckle onslaught by Information Minister Jonathan Moyo over his botched senatorial bid. Gono reportedly said this week his detractors in ZANU-PF were responsible for his disqualification by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission from taking up the Buhera Senate seat. Moyo took umbrage and laid into the former RBZ chief, calling him emotional and reckless. Moyo said Gono had no one to blame but his ignorance of the law. Reached for comment by Studio 7, Gono refused to hit back, only saying, "I'm not commenting on that." ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo also refused to comment, saying, "The subject will be discussed in the Politburo." Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda for perspective.
I think that this is a terrible position for Jonathan Moyo or the Ministry of Information to take. But I apply the same judgment. I would apply the same judgment to Gideon Gono for him feeling that he could still use within ZANU-PF the same tactics of jumping the law whenever he feels like the hurdle stops him from getting what he wants. This is very common in ZANU-PF. But it is, the same reasoning applies to Jonathan Moyo. I think that he cannot then assume that because today the fight is within ZANU-PF factions, the law must become supreme. They are both used to a situation where corners can be cut when necessary, but they should both be aware that these corners cannot be cut within ZANU-PF itself. I think that they must have an operating environment within which they agree that some laws have got to exist. And I do believe that within ZANU-PF itself, there have been certain laws unwritten that they all have certainly followed. Otherwise, the institution would not have been able to hold.
And that was political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda speaking with Studio 7 from England. President Robert Mugabe and his delegation of up to 100 top government officials left New York for Harare this morning following his presentation at the General Assembly yesterday, where he blasted the West for not removing sanctions imposed on Zimbabwe. President Mugabe also told the General Assembly that leaders should create a peaceful world at a time when the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria is causing havoc in the two nations. Leaders from several nations have been calling for a strong challenge against the militants of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria ISIS, who are currently causing havoc in the two nations, and a determined fight against Ebola ravaging some West African nations, where over 2,000 people have died so far from the disease. In an interview with VOA Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira on the sidelines of the General Assembly, African Union Commission Chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma said the African Union is currently mobilizing volunteer teams of young African health experts to support the three affected West African nations.
We've already sent a team to Liberia. We're going to send a team to Sierra Leone and to Guinea, and also to ensure that they have adequate protective materials so that those who are tendering to the ill are not also infected.
Dlamini-Zuma also said African countries have been closing ranks through the AU to support the affected nations Liberia, Sierra Leone and Guinea in providing expertise, health kits and funds. Kenya, for example, has donated $1 million towards helping contain Ebola.
It's countries that are doing their best who have come from out of conflicts, and they are still building, rebuilding their institutions, strengthening their capacities. So this epidemic came when, and they were not able to give a similar response as Nigeria did because of the nature of the institutions. So it's very important to ensure that their capacity is strengthened. It's very important that countries show their solidarity. They open up their borders, they resume flights, they don't have travel, they remove travel bans, or those who had travel bans.
Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma commenting on the climate changes summit, which brought international leaders together for the first time in 5 years on climate issues, said the summit was a success, adding Africa needs assistance with cheap technology from the West and related issues to mitigate the effects of climate change.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
The Harare Residents Trust says city residents should maintain their right to water regardless of moves by the city council to disconnect supplies to those who have not been paying their rates over the last 3 months. The city council has begun notifying residents of looming water cutoffs and has asked Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni to pursue high-profile debtors, including government, satellite towns and businesses that own millions. But the residents' trust says Harare must not come after residents in an effort to boost their revenue inflow, adding council must take each resident to court over non-payment and receive a court order authorizing the local authority to disconnect water supplies. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba, who says residents have a right to water.
We have always acted in good faith with the city of Harare. When we engage them, we have always done that with the hope for progressive engagement and the resolution of disputes. However, we have observed with sadness that every time the city runs out of money, they try to go to the residents to demand payment, and they use the water as a tool to coerce people.
What are you urging residents to do if they find themselves cut off by the city?
As the Harare Residents Trust, we are urging residents to reconnect their water whenever it has been disconnected by the city of Harare. Our argument is that the right to water cannot be compromised because of a dispute over payment. If the city of Harare believes someone owes them money, they need to do the right thing, take that resident to court.
that there was Harare Resident Trust Director Precious Shumba. Meanwhile, Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni says without the necessary funding, Harare will be unable to provide water to its residents.
There's an argument that water is free and is a basic human right, which we want to respect. But that basic right is only coming at a cost. And it is that cost of purifying and distributing water that we're trying to get from the consumers.
As you pointed out, Harare Residents Trust themselves are saying that this is a basic right and that you should take it to the courts if you would like to dispute this issue. What's your take on that?
They're taking us to the courts to say the water is free. They're taking us to court that the residents don't owe us the money for the water supply.
In their words, they are saying that the courts should hear the arguments of both sides because, as they're saying, that water is a right.
We cannot take you upon the argument of both sides. At the moment, there's only argument of one side. The one side is we supply the water at a cost. We're trying to recover the cost. At the moment, we've not heard what the other side has got. And that argument has come to us first. If there's any element of disagreement, then perhaps you can look at other movement like going to court. At the moment, we supply the product, and the product has to be paid for us to recover the cost. If we want to continue supplying that product in a treated format.
And that was Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni on the line with Studio 7 reporter Tatenda Gumbo. Zimbabwe this year is marking International Tourism Day at the Matendera ruins in Buhera in an effort to revive many such ruins around the country. Tourism Minister Walter Mzembe tells VOA Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira that the ruins are a major attraction for tourists, adding his office is doing all it can to source funding to restore such ruins in the country.
The theme for International Tourism Day this year is tourism and community development, and obviously to demonstrate to what extent tourism is benefiting, empowering local communities. And this year we've chosen Matendera ruins in Buhera. It is the least known place, and that is the most publicly acknowledged shrine in Buhera district, as it were. It's an ancient kingdom. And we are moving away from this annotation of these places as ruins to ancient cities so that we can revive the connection with our history with a sense of pride. So there will be a big extravaganza there in terms of demonstrating how this shrine should be connected to the community and how the community can leverage with it for economic and social political benefits. So we are preparing in earnest. The MPs of the areas that include Honorable Joseph Chinotimba, Oliver Mandipaka, and others.
That was Tourism Minister Walter Mzembe speaking in New York with VOA Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira. World Tourism Day, celebrated every year on 27th September, is a global observance to highlight tourism's social, cultural, political, and economic value. Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about the demolition of illegal housing structures in Chitungwiza. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. And now to recap today's top stories. The human rights lawyers have accused the government of deliberately and unlawfully demolishing hundreds of homes in Chitungwiza and Epworth today in a replay of the internationally condemned 2005 demolitions dubbed Operation Murambatswina or Operation Restore Order. The United States ambassador to Zimbabwe says Zimbabwe needs to put its house in order instead of blaming its problems on sanctions imposed by Washington on just over 100 ZANU-PF officials. And former Central Bank Governor Gideon Gono was holding his peace today following bare-knuckle onslaught by Information Minister Jonathan Moyo. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.